No, sir.
As a matter of fact, I don't want you really to tell me anything on the grand jury unless you think I need to know it. If you corroborate something that anybody here, I need to know it. Otherwise, I don't want to know about it. That's good, because I don't think I'd, like, for example, I haven't been in touch with John Mitchell, but he might call me sometime. I don't want to be in a position to ever say anything, see?
Well, I understand how you feel, and it's a...
I guess it'd be legal for me to know.
I think it is legal for you to know.
Is it? Don't do it. Yeah. Right. The problem that concerns me some there, I did see Rogers last night, as you know.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to get an independent judgment on this. What I'm talking to Dave about is about that judgment.
He's an admirable man.
He's able fellow.
Yes, sir.
Witness for the defense on the motion to suppress.
And the third was status reports. Now, on those status reports, I spoke to him in terms of ultimates. Magruder was a good witness in his own behalf. Magruder, the grand jury didn't believe what he said about the money, but not the testimony itself, the result of the testimony. So I don't have any problem.
That's no problem.
No, sir. And I can make disclosure to an attorney for the government in the course of my work. You know, Dean was, in addition to counsel to president, obviously an attorney for the government. And not anything improper.
Right. Well, good. I'm relieved to hear that.
Now, politically, if someone wants to say, as they said of to Pat Gregg, you shouldn't have been talking to John Dean. Well, there's no way out.
That's why I raised the point.
There's no way out.
That was perfectly proper for Pat Gregg. As a matter of fact, be improper for him not to be.
Indeed,
sir. The investigation of the goddamn thing, and I'm certainly expecting to get all the FBI information.
Yeah.
What the hell is the FBI for?
That's right. I don't think
Gregg that. Bad rap on
that. I don't think that's demagoguery, I think. I don't take that seriously.
Right. The second point is that regard to our statement now, what we talked about yesterday, I'm working on it today. I don't know whether I can get it ready, or probably this afternoon, but I'll give you a call if I do have one. I decided, and I want to tell you roughly, it's sort of like the one we worked on yesterday, but also covers the Irving Committee, too. We worked on a deal with them now where everything on executive session everything on executive privilege will be having an executive session.
Right.
The right of executive privilege will be reserved and all witnesses will appear in public session. That's where the deal is going. So they'll take all of our people in executive session, discuss matters, you know, like the judge brings the lawyers on the bench.
Yes, sir.
Does that sound like a good procedure to you?
Yes, sir. I only got the one reservation, and we alluded to this earlier in connection with the Magruder plea, and that is whether or not Senator Irwin will be willing to hold off public sessions that might interfere with the right of fair trial for the others.
Well, you and I know we should. But I mean, my point is, I've got to say, I just want to be sure we're forthcoming at the White House on it. But that's your job.
Okay. All right.
The
so there's nothing
in it. I don't want the goddamn Irwin Committee to go forward.
All right. Okay.
I think, frankly, if I ever mention, I'd be praying that the committee did.
Gives him delay, if not.
Right. Delay. Christ, the committee gets in there. Let's slash a lot of this crap in the court and all the rest in there. He's sure he's going to change the menu for one thing. And second, I would think that he'd, purpose of, these days, change the menu for the television and the rest. I think the Irwin Committee would be highly responsible to go forward. Just remember the example I used to you in the history.
That's right.
He dropped the committee investigation the day the grand jury took it out seriously.
Well, your accommodation with the committee makes my job much easier now.
Good.
I think he would have been very, very suspicious if I had gone up there and there was still the possibility of confrontation between you and he.
You haven't been able to do that?
No, because we still haven't gotten the assent from
Sirica.
Not only Sirica, but Magruder's lawyers. We're still waiting for them to come back.
Taking a long time.
Yes, sir.
Now, with regard to my policy, I think you should know I've thought it over a lot. Where we come out in the end, we shall see. You can be sure. Alderman Early, Dean actually will have to go because he's admitted to very deep complicity, right?
Yes, sir.
Alderman Early,
Liddy in effect said was, what he admitted was that he was present at the Watergate. Dean already knew from prior dealing that Liddy was involved, you see.
Oh, I see. President of Watergate.
That's right.
Oh, I thought he also, I thought you said he told everything. I think he thought about everything.
Well, I think that's correct, and he probably filled in the details, but you recall, at least from the meeting in February in Mitchell's office, Dean knew what Liddy was up to.
Yeah.
Because he had come back to hold him and said, we should not be involved.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Which makes it more credible. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this brings us to basic command decision with regard to what you do by White House people. The main thing is not only what command. And you can look at it in terms of the fact that anybody that this touches should go out without peremptory. You can look at it in terms of the fact that if it touches them,
indictment. It would name Magruder and unindicted co-conspirators.
And you put their names in the indictment?
Yes, sir.
Unindicted
co-conspirators. Then when the court questions the defendant with respect to the facts that reflect his guilt, Magruder then would be expounding on the indictment and, in effect, stating what the evidence was.
On the unindicted co-conspirators, this is Magruder. But that would be in the Watergate side. That would be in both before and after. Magruder's making it before.
Well, he's also involved in the obstruction.
He is.
Because he perjured himself before the grand jury at the suggestion of
all. So what you would have with Magruder, you would say, we hereby indict Magruder and the following unindicted co-conspirators. Which means an undivided claiming under what that means.
That just means that for one reason or other, we don't want to charge him at the time. For example, I'm indicted. You're named as an unindicted co-conspirator. You're just as guilty as I am, but you're a witness. We're not going to prosecute you.
I need to know that because I've determined that.
But all of those people that we propose to name only to the extent that we feel we can corroborate it. The one thing we can't afford to do is name, for example, John Mitchell, then come up 6 months later with not enough evidence
to
name.
Or that matter.
That's right. Yeah.
Or Hall or anybody else.
That's right.
In other words, you're going to put in there people who can indict.
That's right. Now,
then I'd be prepared. I would consider that a charge.
That's right.
That's right. In other words, there, in fact, I would then say that anybody that was indicted, it was an unindicted co-conspirator, would then be immediately put on leave.
That's right.
Now, the other thing I want to tell you, though, that, and I say this strongly, I thought about it a lot. I don't care what you do on immunity with Strong or any other second people, but you cannot give immunity to any top people, not Dean. Dean State don't want it all in Europe. Dean is the counsel to the president. After the flap with Gray, I went over this with Rogers. He says, Christ, after your flap with Gray thing and the rest, it looked like that you're...
I just want
you to know that if you get immunity, that I don't have to attack prosecutors.
Okay. Let me put it this way. I will not do that without your knowledge. If it's necessary for me to do that, I'll come to you first. And then we can reach an agreement that, yes, you'll have to disavow it, and that was a decision of the prosecutor. I don't want to make that decision, Mr. President. I don't want to immunize John Dean. I think he's too high in the echelon. But it's a...
The prosecutor's got the right to make that decision.
But, yes, sir.
You better...
But the point of it is, if it comes to a question of...
Judge, your close relationship with Dean, which has been very close, it would look like a straight deal. Now, that's just what you got to figure.
That's right.
The prosecutor's got to know. And I can say, as far as the president is concerned, if John Dean gets, then I don't care. Ehrlichman and Holloman and all the rest of it, I can start to think about, well, why the hell did we give him immunization and not the poor goddamn Cubans? Just doesn't sound right. Didn't sound right. It didn't sound good for you because of your relationship.
We were prepared
to the president.
I hope we don't have to do that. I'd rather have a plea to a lesser offense by Dean. I think, too, that it's going to look awful. We're in no disagreement on that at all.
The thing that scares the hell out of me is this.
Suppose Dean is the only key to Holdman and Ehrlichman. And the refusal to immunize Dean means that Holdman and Ehrlichman go free. That's the decision that we're going to ultimately come down to.
Well, you'll have to come in and agree with what you've got in there.
I will.
And let Dean handle Holdman and Ehrlichman.
I will, sir.
Under great pressure. Sure. I feel for the person.
So do I.
My lawyer here.
34-year-old man with a bright future.
Very good. He's worked his ass off for a while and everything. I understand that. But I don't, I just can't, I cannot, for example, in good conscience, and you cannot in good conscience say that you're going to send and haul him early, or anybody for that matter, or close down the tube on the uncorroborated evidence of John Dean. So basically what your problem is, and the problem of the prosecutors, is to find some corroboration for Dean.
Precisely right.
If you come in to me with Dean plus corroboration, and you tell me that, then we've got a difficult decision whether or not we want to immunize him or whether we have these...
Well, that's the importance of...
Whether we have these fellows just leave.
That's the importance of Strong.
Maybe the management's... you see, that's the other... Well, of course, if you're Strong, you're protected, but... See, another way you can handle that is...
Both are more tangential than all of them, yes.
Right. Let's take it further. Let's say that the only testimony you have is something about the deep sexual knowing significant thing and so forth and so on, and something about the dean is supposed to have told him about the Lydia operation or something, right, in March. All right. So is he in the conspiracy? Let's suppose that you cannot get anybody that will corrupt him. Then the question is, if on the other hand, you wouldn't sack Ehrlichman for that.
Mr. President, I wouldn't prosecute Ehrlichman for that.
You might sack him.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now the second point is, let us suppose...
I mean, if he were a junior partner in the Peterson-Nixon law firm out in Oshkosh, I would not.
Yeah.
But as senior advisor to the President of the United States, I would. That's
the difference. Now you come to the other point. Suppose you have Dean in a position which I think would be where he makes this charge against Ehrlichman. No, what I'm getting at, no. My point is, suppose you come in and say, look, I've got this charge. Just wait, this is unsustainable. Let us suppose you have witnesses that give testimony and credible witnesses the other way. Then what would you do with Ehrlichman on that? So you haven't heard. Colson, for example, apparently is supposed to know about that, and who else was there when they talked about the
Clement
area? What?
Talk about Hancock.
Leading the country, all that business. Colson.
Liddy gets his instructions from Dean.
Yeah.
Liddy passes the information on to Hunt.
Dean.
Hunt tells us in the grand jury that Liddy said his principals said that I should do this.
Yeah.
Hunt doesn't know who the principals are,
right.
He said, at this stage of the proceeding.
Right.
Even if he does know, it's
right.
That he knows only by hearsay.
Right.
It's probably not going to be admissible.
So we're going to get corroboration.
Well, I'm not sure that we are. Not sure that we are.
See, that's where you give me the tough problem. But on the other hand, it seems to me that on that basis, the better way to handle it is for you to, rather than immunizing Dean, you see, if you immunize him for something that can't be corroborated, it's a straight deal. Looks at it, well, I can see Mitchelson. Well, John Dean was talking too much to Henry Peterson, and Peterson did this, and Dean pulled the plug on him, and he had nothing to lie. You know,
it's possible.
Bad rap, but I just tried to. Roger's got a facile mind.
But we're not going to do that, Mr. President. We're going to have, we'll have corroborative witnesses all along the line.
Yeah, sure.
And I see the problem. I think we're looking at it a little bit differently.
Sure.
And I see the problem in two dimensions. And Chris, I see it in this respect as a neophyte. Obviously, you and Bill Rogers are much more experienced in these affairs than I. But maybe because I'm a neophyte and one of the public.
Right.
I see it perhaps more clearly, or at least from a different point of view. It seems to me that just the things that they have done impairs you. My point of view that I think they have made you very, very vulnerable. I think that they have made you wittingly or unwittingly very, very vulnerable to rather severe criticism because of their actions. At least in public forum, they've eroded confidence in the office of the presidency by their actions. Well, you know it. I don't have to belabor it here.
Let's begin with this proposition.
Have you decided to accept Dean's resignation?
No, I decided that I've got to treat them all the same.
Well, I was going to say that'd be terrible. In fact, is this resignation?
Oh, no, no,
he'd be out
no,
talking
no,
to the press.
No, no, no. I told Dean and them all the same. I'm going to talk to them every day. No, that'd be unfair.
I agree.
Absolutely.
No.
I talked to Dean about it. He said, well, he'd do it if they did. He would like to do it if they did too. I said, well, we're going to do it on a conditional basis. I said, we'll just stay on until we see what happens. No, I'm not going to condemn Dean until he has a chance to present himself. No, he exactly the same position.
Okay.
No, see, that's the point.
Fine.
I put all three in the same bag.
Very good.
How's that sound? See,
yes, yes, indeed.
So we have the same rule there. And Strano. I'm not going to throw Strano simply because he's been down before the grand jury.
No, I agree with that.
If you put a name in that indictment, I'll throw it.
Well, you know, Strano's right at this point debating whether he wants to be a potential defendant or a witness. He's not down there now. His lawyer called around noontime, and we told him, go back and talk to your client and let us know one way or another.
Administration.
They say we'll try this whole administration.
I know.
I'm just aghast at the whole damn thing. You must be too. Because I see no rhyme, reason.
For all this.
And, you know, I look at John Mitchell and I admire him. And,
I know, good man.
Well,
what happened, we know, is this. The jackass has gone off. This lady is crazy.
Like a baby yesterday.
He did.
And he wasn't that so bad on admitting the obstruction of justice and subornation.
Right.
Resigned, he said he probably pleaded, he didn't even think it worthwhile to bring a lawyer with him. Not fully, no, he broke down. But when it came to testifying about John Mitchell, he just broke down and started to cry. Terrible thing. If I didn't have confidence in you, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know, I just wouldn't.
Yeah. Did we do any good when the lady called?
I don't know. Marullis, his lawyer, flew down. His lawyer flew down, and we had Liddy brought over to the cell block of D.C. Court and made him available, and that was yesterday. And, of course, I'm sure Liddy's thinking it over, but we'll see. That man's a mental case in a fashion. I guess Bill Rogers was shot too. God almighty.
Bill?
Incidentally, I talked to Pat Gray again.
Yeah.
I went back again today.
You think he put that piece together?
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what happened. He said he met with Ehrlichman in Ehrlichman's office. Dean was there. They told him they had some stuff from Hunt's office that was utterly unrelated to the Watergate case. They gave him two manila envelopes that were sealed. He took them. He says, they said, get rid of them. Dean doesn't say that. Dean says, I didn't want to get rid of them, so I gave them to Gray. But in any event, Gray took them back, and I said, Pat, where are they? He said, I burned them. And I said...
He burned them?
I said, it's terrible.
Unrelated. Only thing he can say is that he did it because it was political stuff, I suppose.
Well, you know, I mean, the cynics are not going to believe it was unrelated.
Oh, yes, of course. I said, did you rehandle it? Who handed it to him? Dean? Who knows the contents? You may ever find it.
Dean and Ehrlichman. Dean. Gray says he never looked at it. Never read it.
Dean? Did you ask Dean what the contents were?
I didn't ask Dean, because he said it was not at this point. think it's incredible. You know, I just...
Why didn't he just put it in?
I said, Pat, why didn't you do it?
Not me.
And he said, well, he said, I suppose, because I just sent them to their word. I don't think that ought to be there. I don't see how you can say private information that came to you without almost becoming personally involved. At least as a potential witness.
As a result of this very serious charge.
Yes, I think that has to be modified.
Significant developments
is a terrible...